Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Steve Frampton, and you're listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, I'll be introducing our guest, Teresa Richardson, and we will be talking about psychic development. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-hosts. Maureen, how are you this evening?
Fine. I'm fine, thank you. How are you, Steve?
I'm very well, thank you, very well.
Okay, yes, I'm Maureen, and I am very excited about your show this evening.
Thank you.
Also, what I do is I'm a tarot, well-versed in tarot, and I work with everybody at PsychicAccess.com as well.
Wonderful. It's great to have you with us, as always, Maureen.
Thank you.
Welcome. And Brenda, how are you?
I'm doing good. It's a beautiful day out. It's hot, but it's beautiful. In my vegetable garden, I actually got two zucchinis off it last night. I'm real thrilled. It's nothing like fresh vegetables.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and okay. I work with you guys here at PsychicAccess.com. I'm a predictive psychic. I work with the crystal ball and the tarot cards and the playing cards.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for being with us again, Brenda.
Thank you.
And Stephen, how are you?
I'm doing just fine, thank you. I hope you are as well, my friend.
Very well, very well. Thank you, Stephen. Can you tell us a little about your work as well?
I would be happy to. I am an astrologer and a tarot reader. I specialize in relationships and financial issues and also pattern analysis. And I work with all of these fine people at PsychicAccess.com and absolutely love it. I appreciate you having me on your show tonight. I'm looking forward to hearing everything that you're going to go into with your guest tonight.
Great. Well, it's good to have you with us, Stephen. And last but not least, Bobby.
Your English accent just gets in the way.
I know, it's tedious.
How are you?
I'm very well, Bobby. Good to have you with us. Now, this is your last show, isn't it?
It is my last show with Psychic Access, yes. I've been off for a couple of weeks and wanted to come back, of course, and spend one last time with y'all. And it's a bittersweet moment, I think, because we've been doing this for a couple of years now, so...
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've had a lot of fun, Bobby. And I know that you're moving on because your schedule's very busy. So we're excited about all of your opportunities. And hopefully you'll be back with us as a guest or as a guest host at some stage.
Absolutely. I would love to come on every now and again to be able to still work with you guys. Absolutely.
Wonderful. Well, enjoy the show, Bobby.
Thank you.
Well, I will introduce our guest in just a moment. But before I do, let me tell you a little about Teresa Richardson. She's an intuitive healer. Her life work has been dedicated to reconnection with the soul in many forms. She teaches Reiki as a spiritual practice and healing modality and offers individual Reiki sessions as well. She loves teaching classes such as crystal workshops and developing your intuitive gifts. And her readings are intended to empower the individual and create the understanding that we co-create our reality in harmony with all that is. If you'd like more information about Teresa, please check out her great website. It's teresarichardson.com. Well, Teresa, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Steve. It's great to be here talking with you tonight.
Wonderful, Teresa. We really enjoyed your last show, and I'm glad that you've been able to join us again. I know you're very busy, but it's just wonderful to have you here and to speak about psychic development. All of our listeners, whether they're listening live or listening to the archives, are generally very interested in psychic development. So I guess my first question, Teresa, is how did you first discover your psychic ability?
Well, when I was 21 years old, I bought a book at a bookstore called The Education of It was Seth Speaks by Jane Roberts, who's a psychic channel and who was working at that time. She wrote the book in the early 70s, late 70s, I guess. And anyway, it explained so much stuff to me that I didn't understand. It explained all these experiences that I had that didn't make any sense to me and were pretty scary up to that point. And as soon as I read the book, I was just like, oh, this is what I want to do with the rest of my life. And at that time, that was back in the late 70s, and we didn't have, like we do now, we didn't have the internet, we didn't have all these wonderful metaphysical bookstores and teachers that we have now. This kind of stuff was just starting to come into the mass consciousness, and it was really considered really radical and out there. So I had to do a lot of reading and a lot of research and a lot of practice, but I kind of evolved, I think, with the movement, which was really, really fun. I guess learning the way I learned, the first class that I ever taught was a Developing Your Psychic Abilities class. And psychic actually comes from the Greek word psyche, which means of the soul or of the non-physical attributes and aspects of ourselves. And I have learned that everyone has psychic abilities and that we use them all the time. So in spite of what Hollywood sometimes makes it out that there are these, and we do have these experiences where we get these, you know, amazing visions and maybe seeing angels or predicting future events, but they are kind of dramatic. In general, the more we use our psychic abilities day in and day out every day when we communicate with people and with our world. So there's so much more to it than these dramatic events that the Hollywood movies and stuff like to make it out to be. It's a God-given skill, a talent that when we develop it, makes our life better. So that's kind of why I teach it. And as I began to learn, I learned that everyone has them, and that for some people it is a talent, kind of like playing the piano, but you know, everybody can learn to play a musical instrument if they want to. They might not be the next, you know, Yanni, but they can learn. And there's also people who are very talented psychically, but don't practice as much. So the people that really, really grow with their psychic talent are the ones who are talented and mainly who practice. It's all about practice. It's all about recognizing that it's your God-given right and responsibility to use your gifts and understanding that in our society we've been taught to believe that if we can't see it, touch it, smell it, or taste it, if it's not physical, it doesn't exist. And so we know that's not true. We know we can't see the air in general, but we know it's there. We couldn't live without it. There are many, many things now know that we can't see at all, and yet our reality is based on them. So understanding and developing our psychic abilities really is all part of this grand evolutionary process that we're going through so rapidly right now. For me and for everyone, I think.
Absolutely. And I like your point, Teresa, that it's really about connecting with the divine source. I was always taught by my teachers that we're as light workers, as people who are offering guidance to others, the more we develop our own connection to the divine source, the more we seek to be of service in the world, the sooner and better our metaphysical abilities develop. Do you find that is the case?
Oh, absolutely. And simply the healthier we are, the more clear-minded we are, the more we strive to be for clarity on all levels of our being, then we have access to more clear psychic abilities. It's such a broad topic, don't you think? I mean, there's 70 different kinds. But yes, absolutely, absolutely. But you don't have to believe in a soul to have these abilities and use them. They happen all the time. It's as simple as walking into a room and all of a sudden you don't feel comfortable for some reason, but you don't know why. And perhaps maybe someone in that room is really upset and they're broadcasting. You don't consciously get the information that that is what's going on, but your aura or your human energy field, which surrounds you, the field of electromagnetic energy that surrounds you automatically responds to the signals that everyone else is giving off and gives off signals of its own. So we're kind of constantly communicating through these fields. And I, like you, believe that it is an aspect of the soul, or what, you know, what I call the soul, the greater part of us, our inner being, our higher power. But you don't have to believe that to use these abilities, or everyone has them. It's as simple as, you know, just like sight and hearing, we all have them. We've just been taught not to listen to them or not to pay attention to them, that they're not real.
Yeah, and like you said, many people have a certain level of psychic ability that they can develop. Well, we all have a psychic ability that we can develop, I should say. But the more we focus on it, the better we become. It's like, as you said, playing an instrument or a sporting ability, I guess.
Absolutely, absolutely. And especially when you consider that it's something that we've not been taught to use. You know, when you're little, a lot you are taught to read and write when you're little. Children learn most easily when they're little. It's been proven that your brain is geared towards learning new things in the elementary, up to the elementary school ages and on up. But we aren't taught any of that. So by the time, as an adult usually, or a young adult, you make up your mind that you want to learn this stuff, you've really got to practice. And to me, there's a couple of things that you really need to do to first of all, you need to learn some basic skills. I'm sure you'll agree with me that meditation is one of the basic skills that just really helps you grow in this way. And practice, and releasing the old beliefs that you can't do it, or that you're not good enough, or that it's, many people still believe that their religious training has taught them that psychic abilities are demonic, or so it's releasing all of that stuff.
And Teresa, can I ask you to explain to our listeners some of the experiences that they may have as they start to open up psychically? What do they need to look out for or recognize?
Well, if you're actively pursuing it, the most important thing to me is that you set your intention to connect, because there's so many different kinds of psychic phenomena. Let's just say two, for example. Let's say the connecting of non-physical beings. You might be talking about maybe your relatives that have passed on, or you might be talking about what people call spirit guides, which are more evolved humans that are not in the physical right now, or ascended masters that are extremely evolved humans that are not in the physical right now. Or you might be talking something as simple as telepathy, let's say. But it's important that if you decide you're going to open these doorways, that you set your intention to connect with those beings who are, you can call it of the light, those beings who have your highest good in mind. Just because someone's deceased doesn't mean that they're any smarter than you are or I am. Just because, you know, somebody's grandma passed on doesn't mean that she has valid information for you. So I always kind of teach people to do some kind. It doesn't have to be a prayer, but a prayer or an affirmation of some kind always setting your intention to connect with those beings that are for your highest good, or that information that is for your highest good. It's kind of like it's like walking around a new territory. If you're driving around new territory and you're not sure where you're going and you want to get out and walk around and leave your car, you don't leave your car doors unlocked. You kind of you pay attention. You're careful. And you set deliberate intention not to be in situations that you can't handle, I think. So that, to me, is one of the most important aspects, is setting your intention and basic protection. So let's say that we're connecting with people that are in the non-physical. You might have some dreams about maybe your grandma that passed away, or you may actually, when my stepmother passed away, I heard her speaking to me very vividly, and she came to me and asked me to take and write down a letter to give to my father, and she told me information in it that I had no way of knowing, which kind of validated it for me. Those kind of experiences happen for you once you start practicing. What other kind of, the first conscious and controllable thing that I had, I had been doing yoga and I was running light energy through my energy fields, where you just kind of breathe in the light and you breathe it through your body and it feels real good and it purifies your soul. And all of a sudden the earth started talking to me and I could hear it very clearly. You can hear, and we've been taught that if you hear voices, that you're crazy, or you know, that's impossible. But really, it's not impossible at all. It's your psychic information is going to come through senses that you're already familiar with. It's going to come in visuals that you can hopefully understand, visual symbols, or auditory language. It comes for some people in sentient impressions. One of the I'm sure you do this in your classes. One of the things I like to do in mine is have the students sort of scan each other's energy fields with their hands, and so you're receiving impressions through your hands. And it may be as simple as hot and cold, or you may actually receive pictures or hear information. So there's lots of different stuff that can happen. So it's so important that you set your intention. One of the first exercises that I learned after I had decided that I really, really wanted to do this, I got a tape. It was back in the days of the, the cassette tapes, from someone whose name is Dip Sutton, who is very, very old now. But anyway, he had all these different practices, activities that you could do to help you develop your psychic ability. And he would listen to the tape, and he would take you into a meditation, and then where you would get very clear, you would run lots of light, you would get very relaxed, you would quiet your mind and your emotions and your body, and then you would try to draw what was going to be on the front page of the newspaper the next day. And the first couple of Sundays, we always got the Sunday paper, so the first couple of Sundays I tried it, and it was nothing that even... remotely look like what was on the front page of the newspaper. But the third time I did it, I actually drew what was on the front page of the newspaper, and it was very exciting. It was very fun. And it was simply a result of practice. But it's those kinds of activities that are kind of like playing chords on the piano that actually really harness your skills. The idea in developing your psychic abilities is to have conscious interaction with them, and I don't really like the word control, but basically you want conscious control. You want to be able to use them when you choose and to quiet them when you don't. So all kinds of fun things could happen.
Wonderful. Well, Teresa, can you tell us also which tools a person might use in their psychic development? We've all heard of tarot cards and crystal ball. What do you recommend people start with in order to test their ability and develop it?
That's a really good question, Steve, because I really do recommend that if you're wanting to develop your intuition, that you choose a tool, whether it's numerology, astrology, tarot cards, gazing, which might be a crystal ball. I really recommend that you get to choose a tool and get really familiar with it, because it's kind of like it's something that helps you build your intuition. I learned through reading tarot cards, but tarot cards take time to learn any of these tools. If you want to learn to be very good at it, tarot cards, numerology, astrology, it takes some time and some study. So you want to kind of get familiar with them and maybe try a few and choose the one that you're most interested in, because you're going to pursue, everybody's different, and you're going to pursue, you want it to be a joyful experience and something that interests you. So if you like symbols and you like artwork and you're a very visual person, tarot would be a good for you, but it's not the easiest. It took me a couple of years, self-taught, to really learn to read tarot well. Now we have a lot of card decks that are a lot more less symbolic and more they have much more clear instructions on them than the old-fashioned ones did. Adoring Virtue has decks of angel cards, which are really, really excellent, which are great. They're probably the simplest tool to learn to use, would be those Adoring Virtue angel cards. And if you try them, then you like them, then you might want to try tarot cards. Numerology is another one, because it numerological symbols are present in just about every kind of symbology that you use for predictive psychic development. Astrology is another one, but again, it takes quite a while really to really get, as you know, to get proficient. I know you do astrology. How long did it take you to learn how to, so you could sit down and do a reading?
A long time. Several years.
It does.
Several years. I think, like anything, it depends how much time a person has to study Teresa, but you know I'm a great believer in investigating the scientific and academic side of metaphysics, so I love the systems like astrology, and I'm very interested in the way that tarot, numerology, even the Kabbalah, Hebrew alphabet, correlate with each other. I love to explore that interwoven connectedness. But I want to ask you as well, as people open up, what steps should they take to ensure that they are protected psychically? Because obviously, when we're connecting with spirit, we're opening ourselves up energetically. And just as there are great people and not so great people in the world, it's similar in spirit. So we need to stay protected in our development and work. What do you recommend?
Well, that's exactly how I put it. There's as many different kinds of spirits in the world as there are people in the world. And as we know, some of them are wonderful, some of them are medium, and some of them are not very nice at all. So I think really there's three steps, and those three steps are we talked about before. First of all, setting your intention, whether it's through a prayer or an affirmation, setting your intention very clearly, because your intention dictates the experiences that you're going to have. The second thing that I really recommend is grounding. Grounding is connecting in with the earth. I teach it through a grounding cord. It's important to me that you're grounded when you're working with psychic energy. It keeps you connected to your body and connected to the physical, and enables you really to have a quick means of releasing any negative energy. And the third thing really is I like some type of protection, like simply it doesn't have to be complicated. It can simply be a bubble of white light or something that strengthens your boundaries. Well, what I've noticed is, because when I was younger, I had very, very weak boundaries, so I was always interacting with people and different kind of energies both physical and non-physical, that didn't necessarily have my highest good at heart. So if you're spongy, if you've got weak boundaries, it's real important that you strengthen the boundaries of your aura. And you can do that by simply visualizing, the boundary around your aura with a gold or a violet light. The powerful one that I did every day for 10 years. I put a pyramid of white light around myself every morning in the car on the way to work, because as a person who had weak boundaries, who was very psychically tuned in, I was more psychically tuned in than I was physically tuned in, so I was constantly receiving information I didn't know what to do with. So the development of boundaries and of having dominion over what you receive and what you don't receive is real, real important. So the strongest form of protection that I know of is a pyramid. And you visualize that around yourself.
I hadn't heard that one before, Teresa. So visualizing a pyramid around oneself.
Yes, a pyramid of gold and white Christ light. There's I'll say this slowly in case anyone wants to write it down. This is what I used for 10 years, and now I don't have to do it at all. Now my boundaries are very strong. But if you had known me 30 years ago, you wouldn't have recognized me. People are always saying things like, you're so grounded, and I just laugh. But so this little saying goes like this. It's called the Pyramid of Protection, and it's, please place a pyramid of gold and white Christ light and the divine white light of the great I Am around me and hold it at all times, strengthening my boundaries, protecting me from all harm, letting in and out only love and light. That is the most powerful one to this day that I know. And it's a really good example, because what you're asking for the divine white light of the great I Am, of the universal source of love and light, and you're stating your intention. You want your boundaries strengthened, you want to be protected from all harm, and you want to live in those energies of love and light. So when you do that every day, many people who are just like we all come in with talents, musical talent or talent to draw or talent to sing or whatever, people who come in with natural psychic talents a lot of times don't have the strongest boundaries in the world. So it's important that they find a means and a way of turning it on, turning it off, and having dominion over their own energy and having control over what they receive and what they don't receive. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, absolutely. I love using the Lord's Prayer, Teresa, as well. You know, I believe that the Lord's Prayer is so used around the world that it carries such a strong intention of connecting with the divine source. I find that it really carries wonderful, wonderful energy and intentions. And I also find that when I'm about to read for a client, saying the Lord's Prayer in my mind is also a trigger for my higher self and my spirit guides that I am about to enter that state in which I channel insights for the benefit of a client.
That's a really good point that you just made too, that when you basically your psychic abilities are subconscious. So the way that we train our subconscious is with certain cues, and when we repeat those cues over again, whether it's the Lord Prayer or whether it's the prayer of protection or whether it's another prayer that you might say, when you do the same thing, for example, when I first learned to do readings, I would do the 9 breaths, 3 breaths up from the earth, 3 breaths down from the sky, 3 breaths up and down. As I was doing that, that was a signal to my body to relax, my mind to clear, and my emotions to quiet. And at first, when I was learning, it took a long time, but now it doesn't. It takes me 3 breaths, and I'm immediately in a state of quiet mind, which I'm sure you are too. But it didn't happen overnight, did it? You had to practice.
Absolutely. And I believe in having a very clear practice that indicates to spirit that I'm opening up and I'm available to serve.
Absolutely, stating your intention. And when you state that intention, that's what happens. There's a wonderful thing in Hawaiian shamanism that says energy goes where attention flows, and it's just that simple. Where we, what we place our attention on is what we receive and interact with, what we vibrate with, whether it's for good or for ill.
Absolutely. Teresa, I want to ask you, I know that you have taught many people to open up and develop their psychic abilities. Can you explain some of the frustrations people have or some of the blockages they have to overcome in that process? Because we're talking about working much more at that stage with the right hemisphere of the brain and trying at times to shift away from the rational, logical, masculine left hemisphere. What are the obstacles that people need to work through as they go through that process?
That's a really good question, Stephen. That's a really important point because it happens to everyone. There's a couple of things. First of all, this isn't real. Your closest connection, I believe, to spirit is your imagination. But we're so used to being told, we've been told over and over and over that our imagination isn't real. Oh, dream on. Oh, you're just dreaming. Blah, blah, blah. So basically, when you start to practice, it feels like your imagination. Say, for example, you're drawing what's in the newspaper the next day to practice. Let's say, very simple exercise. So what do? You imagine what you might see in the newspaper the next day. And so your first challenge, I think, to get over is the belief that the imagination is somehow not real. The imagination and the feelings are your closest connection to your divine self. So another for many people is that these they have been taught by early religious training that this, for some reason, is not healthy or that it's against their early religious training for some reason. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail because I think everybody pretty much is familiar with that. But so getting over, even though intellectually they may be over their early training, there's still parts that themselves that are going, oh, using tarot cards are evil, or astrology is evil. It's not, it's not of the light. So getting over things like that, I think. The third one is believing that they're not worthy. I love to teach a class where we connect with the Ascended Masters. And the interesting thing about that is that people believe they're not worthy. They're not worthy to talk directly to Jesus. They're not worthy to talk directly to, say, Kuan Yin or the Archangel Michael, when that is the furthest thing from the truth. So a belief in their own worthiness is one of the hardest things that people have to overcome when it comes to those kinds of skills. It's okay for someone else to do it, but they're not worthy. And I think we've been taught, most of us, that unfortunately we're working on overcoming that as a society, but most of us have been taught that we have to really, really strive and work and struggle to be worthy of good things. And the way you learn to use your psychic abilities is the exact opposite. It's releasing and letting go and allowing. So also that belief that we can release and let go and allow and just be, and that our natural abilities will come through and lead us and guide us.
Wonderful, Teresa. Well, on that note, we're going to take a short commercial break, Teresa, and then we'll continue our discussion about psychic development.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Well, welcome back, Teresa, after the break. I'm excited to carry on asking you about psychic development. I want to ask you, Teresa, about, firstly, the most exciting psychic experience you had when you were fine-tuning your psychic ability.
Oh, goodness. It was pretty exciting to talk to the Earth. When I realized that she was actually talking to me, and that she, you know, again, now more and more people are understanding that the Earth has a soul and the Earth is alive. But back in those days, nobody taught me any of that. And to actually hear her speak to me with the most incredible love was probably a life-altering experience. Another really funny one, and I might have mentioned this last time we talked, because we were talking about angels, but another really funny one, and this has to do with worthiness, was I was living in Florida, and I was out on my patio, and I was working, and I had been to see a lady who channeled Mother Mary, and she was a lovely, lovely lady, and her teachings were really good, and I really enjoyed the workshop, and I was raised Catholic, but had been lapsed for a long, long time, so I knew who the Mother Mary was, and I was sitting at my desk doing something. I don't even remember what I was doing. And all of a sudden, the Mother Mary came to me and started talking to me. And because I was a lapsed Catholic, and I associated Mother Mary primarily with Catholic viewpoint at that time, I was like, oh, no, this can't be. You're not really talking to me. You can't be the Mother Mary. Now I've really, really cracked up. And she said, oh, yeah. She said, go outside. And I went outside of my front porch, and I am not lying. A bolt of lightning split the sky. And I was like, okay, I guess it's you. I think we can ask for confirmation, and I think that's a really good example of what we do. We don't believe that we're good enough to connect with these really powerful and loving and wonderful non-feeling, non-physical beings, when in reality, they are so ready and willing to help us. We've just got to open up to them. Trying to think of another. But yeah, that really happened. One time I was working with the Pleiadians, and again, I was like, oh, yeah, sure. Now I've really lost my, you know, now I'm really crazy. I think I'm talking to extraterrestrials. And I said, I need some confirmation. And they said, okay, go to the dictionary and look up Taurus. And I was like, okay. And I wrote that down. One of the things that I really recommend you doing when you're practicing is to write everything down, because when you do, you can go back and look at it later, and it's amazing. It makes the experiences more real. But I said, okay. So I went to the Webster's Dictionary and looked up Taurus, and what it actually, in the definition of Taurus in Webster's Dictionary, was about how the Pleiades, that Taurus was close to the Pleiades. And so when they told me something that I knew for a fact that I had no way of knowing, because I had no knowledge of astronomy, those are the kinds of things that were really, really exciting for me when I was first learning, is when I would hear or feel or have something happen that there was no way that I was consciously connected. There was no way I could have figured that out on my own that I knew of. And then later I would get confirmation. And I think that's really an important part of developing your psychic abilities is taking part in situations and circumstances where you do get confirmation. For example, in your classes, and I'm sure you do this too, you have people read for each other. And the reason that one of the reasons that you do that is so that they can get confirmation when they're reading for each other and they're beginning just for the fun of it to tell each other stuff about one another that they have no way of knowing. And then when they tell the other person, it's very exciting. It's so much fun. It's really, really a lot of fun.
It is, Teresa. I think that studying metaphysics and opening up psychically has an enormous impact upon a person's well-being. I really liked your point at the beginning of the interview about how much benefit there is to be had for an individual in terms of their satisfaction and joy in life. Can you imagine not being in this field of work?
No, I truly can't. I truly can't. I'm almost 60 years old now, and this has been my lifelong love of my life. And it never gets old. It never gets boring. It gets more and more and more fun. I can honestly say that. And I think one of the things about one of the things that is always emphasized generally in psychic training is getting to know yourself. You can't know what is you and what is not you until you get to know yourself. And so whether you're someone like me or you who has a lifelong interest in these things and you plan for it to become your career, or whatever, or whether it's someone who is a doctor or a veterinarian or a secretary or a nurse, it adds so much. The development of these skills adds so much to your ability to function in the world. The better you know yourself, the better you can function in the world, and the more true you become to whoever and whatever you are. So if it's just a hobby or just simply, you know, a summer class or whatever, or a passing interest, I don't know too many people that wouldn't benefit a little bit from learning more about themselves and how they process information. This is how we all process information. This is how we all create our health. We now know, and science is beginning to verify this for us. I shouldn't say beginning to, it's verifying it all the time, that we get sick in our energy field before we get sick in our physical body. We get sick in our non-physical energy field, unless it's some kind of an acute accident. Illness is always preceded by a disturbance in various levels of the energy body. For example, it's simply something as simple as the emotional body being overwhelmed by several more emotional difficulties that a person can have. For example, in a year they might lose their job and get a divorce and let's say maybe even lose, you know, have a death in the family. And the next thing you know, there's a heart attack. It's not because they're losing their job caused their heart to fail. It's because the repeated assaults upon the emotions and upon the emotional body caused the physical heart to fail. But it didn't start in the physical heart. It started in the electromagnetic field. So everything that we learn about ourselves and our non-physical energy bodies can make us healthier. We can, from looking at the non-physical energy body, we can diagnose our strengths and our weaknesses and aspects of our character that we can build on and that perhaps we need to work on. So there's so much healing that takes place when you begin to learn about the non-physical aspects of yourself.
That's a great point, Teresa. People need to realize that everything that occurs in the physical occurs first on the astral plane within the spirit, soul, astral body, however we want to describe it, and that when we are in tune metaphysically, looking beyond the mundane physical world, or looking beyond the currently acknowledged scientific understanding, we can see much more, and we can receive insight that can prevent illness, or that can give us a heads up on what's coming in the future so that we can work to avert crisis and to embrace opportunity. It's a brilliant way of looking at it.
I really like the idea of embracing opportunity. I think that's a great way to put it.
Thank you, Teresa. Well, I want to ask you a little about spirit guides, Teresa, because most people are interested in their spirit guides. My guide's, or my primary guide's name is Arthur, and I used to see him physically manifest when I was a child. Now my connection with him is more telepathic, although I did participate in an incredible mediumship seance in Virginia on Sunday and got to speak directly with him and hear his voice, and that I was able to record that. I'll play it for you sometime, Teresa, because you'll find it fascinating. So it was just an incredible experience to hear him speak again and to hear him saying things that nobody else could know about me, to know that he's close, guiding me in my development and present. Can you tell us a little about your guide or guides, and then how our listeners can learn about their guides?
I'll be happy to. I want to say, just in confirmation of what you were saying about Arthur, there's such a wonderful transformation that occurs in our personalities when we realize that we're not alone, that we're always loved, that there always is someone right there to help us, and that we can ask for their help and we can get it. I think one of the first things we need to remember about spirit guides is they are here to help us, but they can't interfere in our lives without our request. And when you're talking about both spirit guides and angels, very rare occasions can they interfere. This is a free will universe. So I believe that when we come in as babies, we come in with a couple of guardian angels and a couple of spirit guides. A lot of times it could be someone in our family. It really has to do with what our soul contracts are and what we come in to learn and to do. Your average person probably has a couple of spirit guides that stay with them throughout their lives. But we interact so much more than we realize with the non-physical. Let's say that you're a banker and your name is Joe, and let's say your grandfather who died before you were born is one of your spirit guides, and another one is just someone from your soul family that you interact with a lot, and that one shows itself as a she, maybe. And so as Joe the banker, your grandfather will probably communicate with you in a dream time, and he will try to help you set up circumstances and events that are, but he's there really to help you fulfill your soul contract. So let's say part of your soul contract is to, let's say you live in Ohio, but part of your soul contract is to meet some people who are currently in California. So he's going to try to nudge you into maybe taking a trip to California or looking for jobs in California, those kinds of things. They're there to help you. They're there to help you have a fulfilling and wonderful life. Now let's say that Joe's area of service is being a banker. And he likes to help people that way. It is a service. What would we do without bankers? How would we purchase expensive cars and those kinds of things, that, you know, houses? So let's say that he wants to serve others in a bigger way as a banker. He may actually draw in spirit guides or archangels that are going to help him understand how to serve humanity in a more powerful way. And this would happen whether he's a banker or a fireman or, a president. We attract spirit guides and guardians according to our interests and our level of responsibility and our desire to serve humanity. Let's say you're a nurse, for example, and again, you've got a couple of spirit guides that came in with you, and they work with you all the time, and they're there to help you fulfill your contract. But they're also, you will attract, if you are willing, you will attract spirit guides that are, they're primarily healing guides. And the only time they'll work with you is when you're nursing. So just like there's all different kind of people, there's all different kind of spirit guides. And it really, again, has to do with the law of attraction and what your interests are and what you want to promote. Now, there are some beings that we call ascended masters who are here for all of us. And so if you're working, say, on your spiritual growth and developing your non-physical activities, some of the or abilities, some of the spirit guides you might want to work with are Master Jesus, who is a world teacher. You might want to work with Saint Germain, who works with the violet ray and transforming the personality, or the Lady Nada, who works with the violet ray also. If you're interested in children, let's say you're in education and you really want to help children, a being that you might want to work with is the Mother Mary, who's very interested in helping children on multiple levels. And so if you want to work with these beings, all you have to do is ask. And I think that's an important thing to understand, to know to ask and know that you are worthy. Some people, I believe, I was talking to a friend of mine who teaches developing your psychic abilities also, and I was saying, what do you think the most, you know, what if you had to name one tool that's the most powerful tool to develop your psychic abilities, what would it be? And she said, oh, of course, meditation. Mm-hmm. And I think she's right. That if you really want to communicate with your spirit guides, it's important to learn to meditate, because when you quiet your external mind and your external emotions and sounds, that's when they can come in and talk to you.
It's true, Teresa. So, and it's interesting that your point about the grandfather and banking. My grandfather passed before I was born, and he has always been a spirit guardian for me, and he was in banking. Sadly for America, Teresa, I can't be president because I'm British.
Well, darn. We could use you for a president, I think.
It's a damn shame, isn't it? But I'll do what
I can.
And
that's how it works. Isn't that fun, how they put us up to that? About the banking thing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Teresa, it's been great to have you with us again. I want to ask you just to tell us... what do you have planned for the rest of the year in terms of your work, and how can people find out more about you?
Well, they can always get on my website, www.teresarichardson.com. And I'm going to be teaching some classes in the fall. I'm taking a little bit of time this summer. Maybe you'll confirm this for me, Steve. 2013 is like a pivotal year for humanity. And so what I've noticed so far is that things are changing on a really, really deep level for almost everyone I know. All these spontaneous changes that we had no way of predicting are coming up. And when we allow them to be spontaneous and we allow ourselves to flow with them, they're okay. But if we try to control or plan too micromanage things, or what I've been noticing so far over the whole year is that when I'm in the moment, when I'm being spontaneous, things seem to flow really well. If I try to plan too far in advance this year, it just isn't happening. Things are changing all the time, and it's almost like you're kind of standing in some shifting sands, or things are not very solid. And so I want to encourage others to know that, you know, If you're noticing that and you're feeling that, it's okay. It's happening to a lot of us. So I don't really have big plans. There are some things that I would like to do. I want to continue my work. I love doing readings. I love doing Reiki. I love teaching readings. Teaching, and I want that to continue. But as far as specific plans, I don't have any right now. I'm looking forward to kind of a lazy summer. How about
Wonderful.
Yourself? What, have you noticed that happening?
A lazy summer?
This year?
Are you still there, Teresa?
Yes. Have you, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Have you noticed everything's kind of up in the air this year?
Yes, lots of change, but exciting change, things to embrace. I feel as though we're all getting signs about what needs to shift within ourselves, whether it's letting go of old behaviors or attitudes or just making changes in the way we structure our lives.
Have you noticed that when you're present in the moment that everything just really, really flows and that you can manifest really, really quickly, more quickly than ever before?
Yes, yeah, and you know, well, you've seen one of the paintings I manifested, one of the Coral Polge originals.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that? And again, in this seance I attended, Coral Polge came through and spoke and said,
wow,
were you impressed by how quickly I got you those paintings? And nobody there knew anything about it. It was incredible. Again, I'll play that for you so that you can hear it. Well, Teresa, it was wonderful to have you with us again. I hope that you'll come back again in future. We love hearing from you.
Thank you. I love talking with you, and it's just been a pleasure as always, and I will look forward to seeing you in a few days, I think.
Absolutely. Well, I look forward to it too, Teresa, and you let us know when you'd like to come back on the show. We love having you here.
Well, thank you. I really enjoy working with you, and you're delightful, and I hope all of you have a wonderful rest of the evening, and thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. Well, that was a great interview. I want to thank Teresa again for joining us. I've got a huge amount of respect for her knowledge and very much appreciate her sharing her experience and insights of working with spirit this evening. If you'd like more information about Teresa or if you'd like to contact her, please visit her profile at psychicaccesstalkradio.com or her website, teresarichardson.com. Now, before we move forward, I'd like to make a few announcements. Stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We'll announce the call-in number a little later, so have your pen and paper ready. And if you missed our show last week, you'll find a recorded archive link as well as archives for all of our previous shows at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. Just click on the archives tab and feel free to circulate those links and the future show details to your friends and family. We want to connect with as many of you as possible, so go ahead and share. Do remember our website, psychicbloggers.com. There's a huge amount of material on there, all contributed by the psychics and intuitives at psychicaccess.com. You can learn about all manner of things in the metaphysical and spiritual field, from tarot to reincarnation, etc. And if you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the internet, go to psychicaccess.com. Remember that all of the readers this evening on the show are also available at psychicaccess.com. We can only spend a few minutes with each caller, so if you'd like to go into more detail, just connect with us at Psychic Access. You'll find that all of our psychics are verified, accuracy tested, each offering their unique gifts, and you can review their profiles as well as watching a video clip by each of them to learn more about their work and to select one of the authentic psychics that you feel can help you. It's an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access. We have very high expectations and standards, so you can be sure of quality service and insight. As I said, all of our co-hosts are available at psychicaccess.com, so just get in touch if you'd like a personal reading. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a website of your own, you can earn 50 cents a minute for every reading referred through your site to psychicaccess.com. It's a fantastic program. So please do check that out by visiting psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And if you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in the chat room and listen into the psychic viewpoint. There's something for everybody, so help us to spread the word. We appreciate it. Now, the number for readings a little later in the show is 724-444-4851. It would be really appreciated if you have one clear question. We can only get through one question per person because time is limited. So speak up when you get through to us. Let us hear your voice. Give us your name and tell us how we can help you by stating your question. Again, I'll give you that number a little bit later on when it's time for us to do readings. But until then, we'll be discussing the interview with Teresa. And first of all, I would like to ask Maureen how she went about developing her psychic ability.
What a lovely little thing you went into there.
Yeah. I was...
Would you ask me that again?
Yeah. Maureen, I was asking if you could tell us about your psychic development, because we're all working professionally in this field and we've got a lot to share with our listeners as well about how we developed our abilities,
right,
and how they can do the same.
And how there's all sorts of different ways to approach it too. Because with me, and I think Brenda and I have spoken about this ourselves, but you know, I'm self-taught, and it wasn't like I went into it unbeknownst to me at the time. She brought up this that I thought was really neat. You need to know yourself. A lot of times you go into it knowing or needing to get to know yourself, the good, the bad, and the ugly. she didn't say it that way, but with me, my psychic development, it was always going on. I just didn't know what was happening, because I didn't have the environment to allow it to thrive in my home environment, you know, growing up in the type of family I had, was born into, I guess I picked. But when I did begin my journey on why I'm here now, it had all to do with that PK stuff, the psychokinetic stuff. So there wasn't any books or anything, and there was no internet for me to figure out what the heck I was learning or what I was doing or who I was or what was going on. But that was going on through the course of my, you know, young life into when I got into my late 20s, or about 26, I guess that's late 20s, 26. I found someone gave me some tarot cards. I always was fascinated with all that stuff anyway, but it was the tarot cards that someone didn't give them to me. They talked about, yeah, they did. It was the Aquarian deck. And the next thing you know, and she was talking about how she would draw on pictures on her mind or something like that, I think. That's the way I learned. But it was because of that, I was going through a really rough emotional time. As I'm always doing that, everybody knows that. But I was going through a five-year-long with a relationship breakup, which should have ended the first year. But it was all my doing that it became a mess. But I really had the cards started. I connected with the cards, but I've said before, they're a record of they're a symbolic record of human experience, is what I feel. But I didn't know that at the time. But they were almost like that. You know, it's like the 12-step program, although there were 78 cards, the 78-step program for me. And I started to begin to see a lot of things about me I didn't like that were related to the tarot. And I just connected with them, and then I guess with the PK. So that's kind of like where it's all started. And the next thing you know, it's almost like there you have it. It was my purpose. And by using the tarot, I was able to go through a lot of stuff about myself and come to grips about myself, and a lot of things that weren't on, I wasn't being honest about myself. And so that's kind of like how that started. I said, unbeknownst to me that I would ever be here right now today and doing this professional work. So it wasn't like I had wanted to do this or I had planned to do it. It is what it is, and all I know is what I know. And all I know is, my God, I was in awe learning on my own, because then came the astrology, the numerology, and they all made sense. They all connected. All the sciences connected together. So it was quite exciting, but it was quite devastating for me, because, like I said, I had to take a good look at myself, my inner self. I didn't like what I saw.
It is a brilliant way to learn about oneself, though, isn't it? And
yeah,
I always
absolutely.
Say to my students, you are the laboratory. Mm-hmm. So as you learn about tarot and you learn about the lessons of the fool, that innocent, pure spirit that journeys through life to evolve through these experiences we have in the physical world, and as they learn about the archetypes of astrology, or as they study these different fields within metaphysics, they can learn more about who they are and
right.
learn the systems through self-reflection, and then start to apply them to other people.
Well, you see, that's the thing that I thought. And then I did, you know, I was during that time, a lot of people weren't published authors back in the 80s, but I did do an audio course, but I wrote a little book with it. And It was back, she was talking about the cassette tape days. I was cracking up because I remember those are, I still have thousands all on cassette of my audio thing. But you know, what I found out also, that it's very difficult for people to reflect and be really honest about their past. And if you're willing to do that and really, really be willing to be brave and courageous to check out your past and what, for me anyway, this was the thing, and all the stuff that I was doing to suppress what was going on with me, and my intuition was real because, you know, we're in our society, and you know, by the time you're 10, usually you're conditioned. And I wasn't. So I was willing to look back, and if you're willing to be open and brave and be nice and kind to yourself, it was something very enlightening for me. It really was. And that
wonderful.
Helped.
Yeah, well, thank you, Maureen. Really good ideas there about using metaphysics to understand oneself and to develop through self-actualization.
Exactly.
Well, let me ask you, Bobby, what about your psychic development? When did you first notice your abilities, and how did you develop them?
I sent away for 3 box tops from Kellogg's.
It works.
They sent you a psychic kit and a magician set, and then it just went from there. You know, it's just history after that. You know, it when you look back in your life, there are so many dots that you can connect to say, I can recognize psychic moments during points in as you're growing up, but you don't call them psychic, of course, when you're doing them. And then after putting some things together and John Edward came on television, that's when everything kind of fell into place, and I knew that I really had to start practicing and studying. And so it's really maybe unusual because I didn't know where to turn to. I didn't necessarily have any classes in where I was living at the time. And so I watched reruns of John Edward over and over and over and over and over again. And I would watch how he did what he did, and I would tune in to see if I couldn't feel what he was feeling and how he got certain information that he did. And then I would watch shows that he was doing readings on, and as somebody asked a question, I would pause the VCR and I would see if I couldn't have the answer. And then I would unpause it, and then the person would either answer or, you know, you wouldn't get anything at all. And then I went on the internet. There was a lot of chat rooms back then, and AOL and things like that. And I went into psychic chat rooms and did readings for some of the people who came in there just to see if I could even, you know, tune in or pick up what I was picking up. And then probably the most helpful part was I had a girl friend who at the time was really helping me and bringing me a lot of her friends to do free readings, and I would just tune into them, say, here's what I see. Does that make sense to you? Does it even make, you know, is there anything to this? And I would just do free readings for a while. And it took me about probably about 4 or 5 months, I think. And I started charging for the readings after that. Not much. I think I was doing $20 for readings. So it was really all just practicing and figuring out how I wanted to receive messages. When somebody from the other side tells me this or shows me this particular symbol, it means this. You know, I'd write it all down, and I would just day and night, I was obsessed with it, of how to get messages again, kind of tuning in that way. So it was really all just self-taught, but again, just kind of strengthening what I think had always been there. It's the same old, like you hear people talk about that everybody has this. It's just a matter of, do you want to develop it like an opera star, right? Everybody can sing, and if you took voice lessons, you could sing to the degree that you wanted to, an opera star or just in your shower, you know, whatever you want to do. And so I think I just had desire and drive to do this. And so I was, like I said, I was really obsessed with it. So nothing special. I wasn't hit by lightning or, you know, nothing like that.
It's fascinating, Bobby. It's really interesting to see how different people have gone about their awakening, understanding their innate abilities, and then nurturing those abilities to be of service in the world.
Yeah, there's so many different ways people learn, don't they? And that's why I say, if you just have desire and intent, then those ways, just like law of attraction, just really reveals itself to you, and you just follow that path. You know, people want to know how to become psychic. Well, just want to, you know, really have a desire for it, discover why you want to. And then, of course, all that's going to be really, really revealing, I think, in many ways. Well, it'll just pop up to the surface of how it is that you're supposed to learn, and who you learn from, right? Teachers and people who will be placed in your path and that kind of thing. So, absolutely.
It's exciting. Yeah. Well, Brenda, I know that you use some different tools. You're very passionate about tarot, and you also use the crystal ball. I think you're the only one of the co-hosts that use the crystal ball, but can you tell us about your psychic developments as well?
Well, the earliest memory that I have of anything happening to me psychic was, I think I was very young. I might have been around maybe 5 or 6 years old, and I was in my grandmother's. They lived back east in Maine, and they had a cabin that was really, really old. It might have been over 100 years old. And I remember lying there and all of a sudden looking up and seeing these people, these spirit energies. They were, I saw them as, I thought they were ghosts, and they were like kind of floating above me. And then, you know, unbeknownst to me, there was a lot of psychics and intuitives and, you know, people who had abilities in my family. But when I was younger, I just was, from the get-go, I had dreams that came true in my early teens, and I was obsessed with anything having to do with metaphysics, magic. I think my real awakening came when I was around 14, and I started having dreams that would come true, like the next night or the next day. Or while I was having the dream, it would be happening. See what I mean? And I thought I was losing my mind, and I said to my mother, I go, I think I'm going crazy. And my mother, who's clairvoyant, said to me, and this was probably the most significant thing she's ever said to me in regards to this, she said, it's a gift and you have to learn how to use it. And then she took me down and got my first tarot cards. And so I started working with the tarot cards, and they became, I think what happens is everybody's got a certain amount of sensitivity and psychic ability, but it's happening randomly. You can't control it. When you start working with a tool, like I started with the tarot cards, I had an Aquarian deck, just like Maureen, then you can control the energies, and you can call it to you at will. Do you see what I mean? I mean, I'm not saying that you might not still get random flashes and stuff like that, but you feel more in control of it because you can understand it through the symbolism that comes your way with the cards. And then it was probably a year after that I got my first crystal ball. And back then, this was in the 70s, you couldn't get a natural crystal. It was very rare. I mean, I never saw one. I never saw one till the 80s. All the crystal balls, and I still have them, I have several crystal balls that I had back then, were clear glass. And it was a different way that you learned how to read them. So I was everything that I could possibly read on the subject of metaphysics, occult, any of this stuff. This was all something fascinating to me. And so I started developing it on my own and contacting my own. The crystal ball to me is a very unique tool because it's pure psychic energy. So if you're thinking, if you're a sensitive person and you are in touch with the psychic energies, and I did want to add, you know, for our audience, that it's very important when doing any of this work, you know, developing your psychic abilities, to be very aware of grounding your energy, because you're opening up. And when you open up and you let all this stuff in, you have to ground some of that energy, or it could become chaotic. It really could. So the crystal ball itself acts like a huge amplifier of your personal psychic ability. That's the way I see it. That's how I can describe it. I tell my clients when they're sitting across from me, or they're getting a reading, or even if they're getting a phone reading, and they say, "Oh, well, what do you see in that crystal ball? I mean, what can you see?" And I tell them that I see a movie starring you. So.
In me.
Yeah, I see a movie starring you.
Yeah, because I can't be president.
And me. And me. And
yes,
me.
But you know
and
what? I don't know.
Bobby and I, Bobby can be, you can be president, Bobby.
I don't want to be president, but I'll talk like this throughout the
You know what? You know what, okay. Steve? You don't want to be president. You have to sell your soul. You have to be corrupt. And I just can't see that in you.
Yeah, I'm too laid back. The other thing is, I couldn't handle all of the early morning meetings, Brenda. You know, all the FBI, CIA meetings and things like that, because I don't get up until about 10:30. I'm a bit of a night owl. Do you think that they would accommodate that?
They might if you became president.
Really? Do you think that you could get away with that?
I
would, president?
Because I get up about 10 o'clock myself.
Yeah, and some days, you know, if I just don't feel like it, I'll stay in bed with my books all day. I'm a bit temperamental, quite unpredictable. I think I could be good in that role. But anyway, it's just it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen because I'm British. I could be prime minister, but I think I'll stay with metaphysics. It's too interesting. Well, thank you for all of your input, Brenda. I want to ask Stephen, as our new co-host, how you are going about your education, Stephen, and how you discovered your psychic ability originally.
Well, in my childhood was a very fertile period for my psychic development. That really probably shouldn't surprise most people. I think children, having so recently come from the other side, as it were, are naturally more psychic than others. So when I was a child, excuse me, I was constantly developing my third eye. I was able to see gorgeous, complete pictures with my third eye, landscapes, things of that nature. And then people, spirits would come to me. I would commune with spirits. They were my constant companions. But then as I matured, growing up as I did in the buckle of the Bible Belt, as I matured, that function, I'm not going to say that it ossified or hardened or went away, but it was a new time in my life to absorb other types of knowledge. So this brings me to my adolescence, and during this period I'm investigating all different types of religions and philosophical systems, all of which would serve me very well later on in my development. And it's probably fitting that a female actually helped to usher me more into doing psychic work, because psychic work, in my opinion, is an inherently feminine enterprise because it's magnetic. A lot of it seeks to attract and pull in, as opposed to penetrating and pushing out like would be a masculine energy. So I had mentors to help me, and by the time I discovered astrology and tarot, I found a solid structure, a framework upon which to drape my psychic powers, my intuition. And I lived for several years in South America, in Lima, Peru, to be precise. And down there, there's a completely different attitude towards metaphysics. It's quite practical. You can hardly turn around without brushing into witch doctors and shamans and all of that good stuff. So I set up my first practice in South America, and it was very successful. And really, with effort, with concerted effort, my psychic abilities improved. My ego is actually quite porous. That helps. It helps. Sometimes it's very hard for me to determine where Stephen ends and other people begin. And so that really helps me.
Is that why you always flirt with Brenda?
No. The reason I flirt with Brenda is because she's ravishing. She's absolutely... Stevie Wonder can see that.
She is just not my type.
Oh, really? Wow. I think she, her personality really also amplifies her natural beauty. So she's just an attractive person all around.
It's true, and I wasn't being rude about her, Stephen. If I was straight, I would be very interested. And in Maureen, the beautiful Maureen.
Maureen is absolutely.
All girls.
I tell you, I'm just really. I'm so happy to be working with you guys on the radio. And it's really, I'm quite suited for this sort of work because I have a face that's perfect for radio. Absolutely perfect for radio. But now, where I'm at now, like you said earlier, talking about, you know, learning how long it took you to learn astrology, I consider, I'm still definitely learning a lot. And I've been studying for well over a decade. And hopefully I'll always continue to learn. And it's transformed my life, and it's amplified my natural intuition. And so it's a process that's always evolving. I look forward to the day when I'm an old man. I'll probably be able to levitate. I certainly hope so.
Like our age?
No, are you kidding me? You guys are far from that. I'm talking about in my 80s, because then again it's a period of time similar to childhood, in the sense that instead of freshly coming from the other world, I'll be preparing to enter into it. So it'll be I anticipate it being a period of psychic fertility akin to that which I had as a child, and it was a riotous period of psychic fertility for me as a child, absolutely, without a doubt. Just every day was filled with interacting with otherworldly entities who kept me company. I grew up in the countryside, and I didn't have a neighborhood where I could interact with other children, and so I was visited by otherworldly beings, spirits, and it's a shame that, you know, as you grow up, that ability has to be cultivated more, because as a child, it's just so natural. You see, and part of my technique, part of my strategy now is to sort of recapture that freshness of youth, is to sort of adopt that childlike mentality that allowed me to so effortlessly commune with spirits and to work with the third eye. So that's my goal.
Excellent, Stephen. Well, good, great input, and it's wonderful to have you with us. Well, we're going to get started on our calls, but before we do take the first call, let me repeat the number, 724-444-4851. That's 724-444-4851. And when you get through, please do give us your name, speak up, and give us your question. Now, the first caller is for Brenda. And this is a call from Wisconsin, Brenda.
Hi, Wisconsin. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. What can I help you with tonight?
Yes. I had a question about children. My children live with their father right now. I really would like to pursue to get my children. I still have joint custody, but I've had a battle with their stepmom, who's been not wanting me to get the children. I don't really talk to their father or anything like that, so it's kind of difficult right now. Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering also if you see have any more children again.
All right, let's see. So you have joint custody now, right?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
So you have like 50-50 joint custody?
Yes. I don't get to see my children that often right now. Kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of difficult situation. Kind of complicated.
Well, the first thing I see is, you know, a really what is possible for you, and the very first thing that came up is a true joint custody, because right now I feel that it's skewed. It's not in your favor. There's a lot of blocks around you that are preventing you from having a true joint custody. It feels like he has custody and you have visitation, or maybe he's blocking even some of that. Is that true?
Yes, that's true.
And I'm also seeing that he's using money on his side, and I'm seeing that she is the stepmother is willing to throw money into the ring here too to prevent you. It's a conspiracy of hate, and I really have to say that. I mean, I hate to use that word, but that's what I see. And I do see that they're working on the kids, which isn't right. However, legally, you have the right to see your kids, it looks like. If I see in the future I don't know if you are going to go back to court or you're going to have something revisited, but I do see something, you know, that's attained or declared for you that gives you the right to see them half of the time, definitely. Now, if your question is, will you get full custody and he'll get visitation, I have to be honest and say that you have to take this in baby steps. The first thing is to get back the custody that you are legally given. And then I'm seeing that that, as the children get older, will work itself out.
Okay.
Because there's so many things that they're willing to, like, throw at you as far as, like, you know, oh, she can't, you know, we can't have them going over there. There's all kinds of lies that will try to bind you. So what I'm seeing is you have to take it one step at a time. And if your question is, are you going to have more children? You know, right now it's not being shown to me. It really isn't. I'm not saying that it might not at some other time, but right now I feel that your battle lies with getting, you know, the truth in your children's eyes right now.
Mm-hmm. And that makes a lot of sense. What you're saying makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm.
So that's what I see, my dear. Okay?
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you.
That was great reading, Brenda. Thank you so much for that.
Thanks.
Fantastic. Well, Bobby, you now have a caller from Texas.
All right. Hi, Texas. Are you there?
Hi.
Hello. How are you?
Hello. Good. How are you?
Good. I'm doing well. Thanks. What can I do for you? What do you want to talk about?
Well, I just have a quick question right now. My ex and I, well, first of all, I'm pregnant, but my ex and I are kind of like going back and forth right now. He's really pissed at me right now. When we're not together.
Okay.
I don't know if he wants to be or not. I don't know if I even want to be. I just want to know, like, right now we're not talking as of, like, today. I'm just wondering, like, is he going to keep, does he want to get back with me? Like, what's the outcome going to be?
Well, the outcome, you know, what we'll do is I'll give you a couple of different answers, because the outcome, you know, it's kind of funny when you have two people that are involved with each other and you guys want to know what the outcome is going to be when the outcome isn't completely in your hands. You know what I mean? You either decide to do it or you don't. It's really simple. The love that you guys have with each other, there's no doubt that there's a connection, that there's a spark. But again, when people are calling me and say, so exactly like what you just said, and you can't help because you want to know what's going to happen. But yet, like I say, at the same time, it's both of you that need to decide. And then you have trouble too, because whenever you have somebody else in the decision, we can't make up their decision for them. So we can't say what they're going to do. Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I can give you some insight on, is that definitely there's feelings there. Not only, you know, I can see that you're a little bit more unsure than he is. In other words, I think he still has a lot of feelings for you. I think that he still wants to get together. He just gets frustrated easy. There's a lot of stress going on with him right now, especially when it comes to his job. And I think that it feels like he was reaching either for a promotion or some better pay or something and didn't get it. You know what I mean? So it's like the feeling that comes across to me is like a self-worth feeling. In other words, I'm working really hard. I deserve that, and I didn't get it. So what does that mean, that I can't do what I think I can do? Do you see what I mean? So he's got that kind of stress going on right now. It's not directed towards you. I think he wants you and him to work out. Again, I kind of see that more on his end than on your end. So I, again, I'm just so hesitant to tell you what a psychic outcome. You guys will be together. I think it's going to, you know, again, it's just completely up to the both of you what you're going to decide to do. You either sit down, have a talk, because there's a lot of hidden stuff under the water here that I'm seeing. In other words, there's not a lot of communication. And so there needs to be more of that. You guys just need to lay it on the table and say, look, here's the thing. I love you. Do you love me? If so, let's do this, because one of the things that will cause more rockiness in the relationship is going back and forth like this, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the
Well, right now he says he's done with me. He wants nothing to do with me. Like,
well, honey, that's today. He changes frequently, doesn't he? He's never been just completely done with you. So you have to look at a bigger source perspective on this and not just a day-to-day type of thing. You have to look at overall. And that's why I'm saying more communication. So if you, whoever takes the upper hand and sits each other down and says, look, what is going on? Are you completely done with me or not? I know you're pissed at me, but are you done with me? That's the key. I kind of see you guys going back and forth like this for a little while longer, and then I don't necessarily see you two together. But again, I can't even tell you how much I dislike saying that. Because now, if you think, well, we're not going to be together, what's the use in trying? Why even communicate anyway? And why would you put your time and effort into that? Yeah. I think relationships are an amazing thing and teach us so much about ourselves, so much in what we want with other people. And I think it's definitely worth your time to, again, sit down and communicate and go with each other. But
I do, and just because you said it doesn't, like, really discourage me, because I'm not really sure that that's what I want, but, I mean, we are having a baby together, and I don't want to, like, hate each other either. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't think you'll ever hate each other, and that's exactly why I didn't want to give you a psychic answer, because it is discouraging. And and I rarely use this word, but that's stupid. I don't.
Right.
This ability that I have is not meant to discourage. It's only uplifting positive types of things. But when people, again, just want that answer, it can be discouraging. And that's not what I'm about. So I want to uplift you, and I want to be able to encourage you, again, with communication. The one thing I definitely can answer you is that you will not end up hating each other. There's too much love there. There's too much of a connection between you two. Okay, so you don't have to worry about that part of it. But I do think tremendously. I mean, there's like 80% lack of communication going on here. So right. It really needs to come out in the open.
You know, we're both really stubborn. Like, I don't want to be the first one to be like, hey, and a lot of times neither does he. So I'm just going to step away. I mean, should I reach out to him first? Like,
well, I don't want
to
be like
Dr. Phil. Even though I really don't want to.
I understand, but I don't want to be like Dr. Phil and say, you know, how's that going for you? But really, if neither one of you is going to talk to the other one and just be stubborn, that gets you nowhere. You obviously have a direction that you want to head, and you want a resolvement to this, right? Otherwise, you wouldn't have even called into the show to ask questions about this. So there is an interest and a desire inside of you to bring this out and say, what are we going to do? And so, yes, you might have to be the first one to do that. You're strong enough to call into the show. You're strong enough to listen to what source that's coming through me has to say. And so you'll be strong enough to sit down and say, I have to do this for both of us because we're both so stubborn, but I have to bypass the stubbornness and do this for the sake of the relationship. What do you want to do? We either do it or we don't. It's that easy. And get down. First, you start with the love that it is that you have for one another. That you can't deny. So stick with what you do know. What I do know is I love you. That's prime one. And then we start from there and try to build something from that. But you can't help it if he wants to or doesn't want to. Do you see what I mean?
Right.
So.
Well, thank you so much for your help.
Well, you're welcome. Listen, if I were to say, no, leave this guy tomorrow, I don't think you would because you're not ready yet. You see what I mean?
Right.
So,
and see, but the thing about this, I know that. I mean, we've been going back and forth. Like, this is not, like, just because I, like, me being pregnant is not the sole reason we're going back and forth. I mean, we've been doing this the whole time we've been together, you know?
Sure.
Oh, sorry.
But it's time to stop.
We literally went, like, 2 months without talking. Like, we just started even, like, talking again at all, like, a week ago. And it's been back and forth, back and forth. I don't even know, like, if he's good for me. Do you know, like, I'm not saying good enough. I'm just saying good for me, like, good for my
head. If this is the type of relationship that it is, then, you know, it's time to maybe move on. You can still be connected and love somebody, but not have them be appropriate for you. And unfortunately, I mean, I would love to keep going on with you because I think we're really striking something here, but we've hit our time limit. We have other callers, so I do have to let you go.
No, that's good. That's good. But thank you so much for your help.
You're welcome. Absolutely. And best of luck to you.
Thank you, Bobby. Okay, great reading. Well, the next call is from New York, and this is for Stephen.
Hi, New York. Who am I speaking with?
Oh, this is Holly.
Holly,
how
are you?
Help, yeah.
How may I help you this evening?
I'm calling just to get, I'm working towards trying to get a closure on a situation. There is a male, Frank, a student who had been obsessing over getting a date with me. And he hooked up with a conduct coordinator at the College of Brockport, Michelle. And they both did some frauding on documents to get me expelled. I have evidence on all of this. And right. He went and filed a false report with the courts. They never sent me an appearance ticket, so I actually had a warrant that wasn't even legal sent to me. There was a lot of deception, and I got frauded. I lost all my college credits. I'm, you know, out thousands and thousands and paying interest. And I've been, you know, on and off homeless trying to make it in this economic woe. I'm trying to find, like, I created some YouTube videos, but I don't know if putting those up is going to really help.
Right.
If Michelle, like, she's very prideful. Is there anything I can do, or is this just going to be a total loss? Well, there, you know, okay.
First of all, there's always something that you can do. So let's see. I'm put to the tarot bluntly what you need to know the most about this situation. And what we're going to find out in our short time together is, A, what you ought to do, and B, what you ought not to do, what you ought to avoid. So let's see what sort of cards we have here. And just sort of looking at the numbers of the cards, we have two cards and a three card. Now, numerologically speaking, these two cards are going to reference a labor of some sort. So you're right off the bat, I know that you're actually going to have to take some action to clear your reputation and to reestablish your good name. So let's see what sorts of actions you ought to take. First of all, what you ought not to do is represented by the Two of Swords. The Two of Swords represents absolutely what you should not do. And here we have Venus associated with the sign of Capricorn. Absolutely, it could be a very troubling type of energy. What ought you to avoid? The Two of Swords. Now, this card typically represents working too hard, overwork. And in this particular situation, I think it describes becoming sick from worrying about this thing too much, do you see? Absolutely, you should not worry about the defraudment. You shouldn't worry about your enemy so much, because then that will obscure your thinking and you won't be able to deal with them the way that you should. What you ought to do is represented by the Ten of Coins. Now, the coin suit is actually associated with communication. So that right there will sort of give you a clue that you shouldn't be silent about this. You know, perhaps you can go to the press. Perhaps you be loud. I hate to say loudmouth, but be loudmouth about it. You know, be mouthy about it. You know, definitely don't hold it back. Let people know exactly how your enemies have been treating you. Now, the Ten of Coins, most importantly, is about inventiveness. So there's a new method of doing of getting relief from this problem. Okay, the Ten of Coins says you ought to really brainstorm and come up with an inventive, creative way of clearing your name. The YouTube videos might seem to be creative, but they're not really working for you so much, right? So you
well,
have
I haven't
to,
put it up yet, because I'm just wondering, because Michelle's the type of person she is.
Right.
She might lash out at me. I really feel like I'm even having dreams about, I had a dream last night. I was trying to talk about it, and somebody came and grabbed me in black. They were wearing all black, and they had black gloves, and they grabbed me and shoved me in a closet.
Right. Now, that dream figure is actually a personification of the planet Pluto, the underworld. And it's just a symbol of your fears surrounding this situation. You know what? Since you haven't posted the YouTube videos yet, I don't see any harm in doing so, because it adheres to the advice to not be silent about this, to be a loudmouth, so to speak, to let people know what's going on. That's going to have the side benefit of making your opponents tremble, making them afraid. Now they don't know what to expect from you. What's she going to say next? What's she going to do next, do you see? So since you haven't published those YouTube videos yet, I really actually think it would be in your best interest to do so. Because again, you're going to attract allies, and you're going to shed some light on the shadowy behaviors of your opponents, do you see? Okay, and also the Ten of Coins publishing this YouTube video, communicating with other people about this, is going to actually turn the tides, do you see? Now your opponents will receive their karma, okay? It's going to turn the tides. Uranus, the planet associated with this card, is all about fluctuation. All about fluctuation. All about change. So by publishing your material on YouTube, by contacting the press even, by communicating with the officials at your university, even by contacting law enforcement, you're going to be turning the tides on your opponents. And the result of this is summed up by the Three of Coins, symbolized by the Three of Coins. Here we have basically two coins cards, which is significant. It's all about communication. Coins are the airy suit, all about talking to people. Being secretive about this is not going to bring you any relief. That much is for certain. You're going to have to get other people, others involved with you. And if you do that, you're going to profit from it. I promise you that. You're going to gain from your allies. Do you see? So that's what you need to do to get some relief from the situation.
Pretty much the only thing, because they drowned me out. I've been on and off homeless and having a hard time getting a job. So, the other attorneys I had, they all bailed on me. I think they might have taken a deal based off my dreams. I think they might have taken a bribe. So it's my only thing that I have is to talk about this.
Well, really, it might not be so much that they're taking a bribe, but it could be maybe you have an inability to pay them what they're asking for. You know,
I had two attorneys working on the case. One was Susan. She was working on the case, and I got two lies on concrete documentation through the attorney grievance. The other one at the Swedentown court case. Legally, it shouldn't even been allowed in court because they never gave me an appearance ticket, so the warrant was illegal. He took the job, he got a job offered by the prosecution in the middle of my case, and he left me. Mm-hmm. So that behavior is very suspicious.
Well, that's the lawyers perhaps might not be the best avenue to take. Again, the officials at the university, they would probably be able to give you some relief here. Your YouTube videos, I'm sure you're going to find that they're going to help you achieve some success with this problem. And also, any other allies that you can get in terms of friends, family, and other figures in law enforcement. Just because these two lawyers bailed on you doesn't mean other authorities will not help you out. You just haven't found the right one yet, do you see? So you have to keep searching for just the right advocate to help you navigate these troubling legal waters. That's going to be paramount. That's going to be all important, okay? You have to get the right counselors. You have to get the right allies on your side. And so the only way to do that is to publicize your case as much as possible. Let's see.
I appreciate that.
Hey, I appreciate you calling us up, and I hope you'll come visit us again at psychicaccess.com. Whether you talk to me or any of my colleagues, we're always going to be here ready to help you out, okay?
All right. Thank you very much. Take good care. Thank you, guys.
You as well. Good luck to you. Bye-bye.
Great reading, Stephen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, well, the next is
Maureen,
and it's a question from chat, Maureen.
Yes, from Az. And he's asking, I am planning on going traveling as life is a bit downhill for me here. No job, no relationship. When do you see me going away? And will things work out for me? Okay, Az. It's interesting that I want to say, if you have some money put aside, and if you don't have a job, and if you don't have a relationship, I suggest... Well, I can see that you're hurting in your heart emotionally. I do see there's some generosity coming from somebody that you would be able to take a trip, travel, do some traveling. It looks like it may be coming from your family. You know, as this is the thing, I feel that if you're an opportunity and that you have some funds that you're able to go for it, right now you're free to do so, and I think it'd be fantastic for you. Because I do see there's some relationship issue that's still kind of very painful. And I'm also getting that along the way, if you do take if you do decide to travel, just take off if you're free to, and I feel that you're free to do so. And if you have a little bit of the money, I feel that you will be meeting up with some very great people that, you know, the way I look at it is when people say, my father used to say this, take an ordinary opportunity and make it great. And the fact is, if you're going to go traveling, I see you meeting up with some fantastic people, males, men, I see, that would, you would end up it would end up being, what kind of thing would I call it? It's almost like if you're at a crossroads, but it would end up opening the doors to a whole lot of great opportunity that may seem ordinary, but it would be fantastic. And I do feel that I do see a change of residence or travel around, and I could be off on my time frame, okay, I'm going to tell you that right now, but it looks around August, September. It would be a fantastic, really good timing to do so. And I feel that it would bring you into a really good place of whatever's happened with your relationship, with I'm seeing the pain in your heart and everything. It would bring you back into a place, I don't like to sound like John Bradshaw, the child within, but it would bring you back into a place where, at a time where things were, God, I would love to be back here myself, things were not so complicated and things were not so innocent. I see you really going for it. I say that you go for it and be fearless. And somebody might, there's some people that might say, oh, don't do that. You're crazy. You don't know what you're doing. And that's when you know that you will be knowing what you're doing. And I see that you have a choice to make, and I see you going for it and jumping. But I do see around August, September. And it'd be very, very, very beneficial. And you'll meet up with people. It will be fantastic. It's not just a trip of running from things. It's a trip to thrive. And I see you thriving. Absolutely.
Thank you, Maureen.
So I hope that helped. I hope that helped you, Az. I will see if it did. You're welcome.
Wonderful. Thank you, Maureen. Well, there's now a caller for me from Florida. Who's calling from Florida?
Hello?
Hello, Florida?
Yes.
Hi, what's your name?
Kathleen.
Hello, Kathleen. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
Who am I speaking with?
What's your
with?
Question, Kathleen?
It's been a crazy few years. Everything is up in the air with me. Job, so money, relationship, everything is up in the air. I mean, okay. I have a few different ways to go, and my own feeling is that something's coming, something big is happening. But I'm not sure.
Okay,
do you
let's
understand?
Have a look.
I mean, it's been an insane last 2 years with all different kinds of things. Are you the medium?
Yes, Steve.
Yes.
Now, Kathleen, I'm drawn right back to August last year. I know you said that it's been a tough few years, but I'm drawn to August. I feel as though there was an occurrence in August last year that was particularly upsetting. Does that make sense to you? It feels late August, almost September.
Yeah, well, right around the summer, yes. I had gone to Connecticut and came back down. And that's when I got very bad news about a friend, yes. That's when I received the news. But later on, things happened. It's been a very terrible year. A couple of years.
Yeah, and I feel it. And I was particularly drawn back to that, to August, and felt that there was a real shock in August, and that that was almost the point in time that caused you to realize just what was happening and to realize how you needed to decide what you want in future. It's almost as though the occurrence with your friend was a wake-up call that you need to decide how you want your life to be moving forward. But I also feel strongly that it's almost as though every which way you've turned, things haven't gone your way. And I feel particularly in February of this year, it was tough. That was a really low point for you. I do feel that things are going to come together for you. I'm drawn actually to August of this year. I do feel that you will be looking to move away from where you are, Kathleen. I don't feel that you'll stay where you're located at the moment. I feel that your work, your career opportunities will lead you further north. Now, I know that's pretty obvious because you're in Florida, and if you went south, you'd end up in the Gulf of Mexico or the Caribbean, maybe. But no, I feel as though you'll go further north. I don't feel you going northwest. I just feel you coming further north, and I feel that there are good opportunities for you. But I really feel that this is a point in your life in which you've really got to do an inventory of what's important to you now, you know, cut back to the core priorities that you want. I can see that you were disappointed in love, and I see as well the disappointment with your friend and with another female, perhaps a female associate at work, but I see it's been challenging. But you've got to look forward.
I've had four people die on me in the past 2 years. Well, three people and my dog, so that's four loves.
Oh, yes, yeah.
It's been traumatic, and here I am in Florida, and I have my elderly mother and an elderly uncle, and I won't be going anywhere unless something happened there. You know,
I feel that you're going to have opportunities in August. That doesn't mean that you necessarily leave in August, but I feel that there are opportunities in August that take you forward, and you need to have opportunities on the horizon. Now, we haven't got time to do lots of mediumship, but I want to ask you, just give me the name of one of the people you'd like to connect with.
Linda.
Well, when you say the name Linda, I'm drawn to the month of May. I feel that the month of May is significant to Linda. And often that's birth or passing, but that's a significant month in Linda's life. I feel that she's somebody that is quite upbeat. She's somebody that can be quite entertaining and humorous, quite lighthearted about life. I also know that August was an important time frame in her lifetime. August was a time that she celebrated. There was an occurrence in her life that was really memorable in August. And I feel that the two of you are like sisters. I feel a really strong bond that's like a family bond. And I know that she's got quite intense.
Her birthday was in August, and yeah, she was like my baby sister.
Yeah, she's like a sister to you, but she's not suffering. I had a very bad accident a number of years ago, Linda, and I passed the spirit. I was resuscitated, but I can tell you, arriving in spirit is an experience that is so blissful. Words cannot describe it. You feel so complete, so safe, so loved, so healed.
I out-of-bodied several times. I had an accident myself. I've always been her medium. But now that she's passed, she's come to me, and I feel her like poking me, and like I need to do something. Like she wants me to do stuff. I don't even understand what.
She just wants you to.
Really, when she crossed over, when she died, I sent her to the light because I knew she was afraid.
Yes.
You know.
Well, you did wonderful work, and you were there for her. You are the person that was there for her, that was closest, that was with her. I feel that when she was. I don't want to go too much over the moment she passed, but you know, in astrology, we correlate the cards in the Major Arcana of Tarot to astrology, and the death card actually correlates to Aries, and Aries is the springtime, new beginning. That's what a transition to spirit represents. But I feel that when she was in bed before she passed, you were on the, if you were looking at the head of the bed, the what do you call it, the backboard. If I look at the bed that way, you were to the right. And I feel
was
that
on the phone.
You were holding her left hand.
I was on the phone with her cousin. I don't know where her cousin was, but I was on the phone, and that's all I could do. I'm in Florida. She was in Connecticut.
Yeah.
I couldn't go. My mother was too sick. I couldn't be with her.
You were holding her left hand, and she recognizes that you were there. And I'm sure that in August you will know your way forward. In April next year, you'll be on your path. So you've got to be strong and move forward, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Wish you lots of luck and love. You look after yourself.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay, right. Now, let's see.
I have a call from Illinois.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Brenda. Go ahead.
Hello, Illinois. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there. What can I do for you this evening?
I just kind of want to know about my financial and my housing and stuff. I've been going through a lot of rough stuff lately, too, and it's been kind of really hard for me.
Okay, let's take a peek. Are you having to move right now? Are you having to make a move, or did you have to make a move?
Yes, I just recently had to make a move that I didn't want to make, yeah.
Yeah. You know what? There's a silver lining to this. I mean, it feels like a transition, and it feels like, you know, you had to be, you actually were forced into this, but I feel it's part of the new foundations for, you know, the future here for you. It feels like it's only temporary where you're at right now. I do see another place for you. Try not to get too caught up in your circumstances, because, you know, even if you have to live out of a suitcase or boxes or something like that, you can't dwell on that, because really this is about you kind of claiming another work opportunity, and that's what I see. I feel that if you just kind of let this other stuff, yes, you had a situation and you've had to deal with it. But what I'm seeing in the immediate future, it looks like, you know, the next 2 to 3 weeks, maybe even sooner than that, you're going to loosen up and you're going to kind of let go. And this is going to bring a great opportunity your way. Are you looking for another job situation right now?
I'm looking for another job situation, another home situation, another situation for my children, and even possibly love. I'm not even quite sure about the love situation, because I'm kind of stuck with that one too.
Well, you know what? The job thing comes, and I'm seeing 2 to 3 weeks, and I'm seeing the job situation happens first. The opportunity mm-hmm. happens first. And it looks like good money. It looks like, wow, you know, it's more money than you've made in a long time. And sure. It feels like you'll have finally a little more power in the situation. Now, I do see someone wanting to get back together with you or resolve issues with you, but what I'm getting is it is what it is, and approach it cautiously, and you'll feel better about it once you have some power of your own, as far as like a job, and you can see your way of getting some money together to get another place. Do you see what I mean?
Yep, definitely. That sounds positive, and I mean, it's like I said, it's definitely been hard, but I just need to, you know.
It's a bump in the road. It's a big one, but it's a bump in the road, my dear. You're going to come out of this better, actually. You're going to come out of this. Actually, you'll see that the purpose and the big picture for this is that you can get a stable situation that frees you from being dependent on someone else.
Okay, that's kind of what I felt in a way, too, but I just had to kind of make it clear, I guess, in my own.
All right, honey, well... You know, there's a light at the end of this tunnel. This is not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing, okay?
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's great. Thank you, Brenda. We have another caller from New York, and this is for Bobby.
Never.
Hello, New York. Hi, how are you?
Hello.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, how are you?
Doing all right.
Okay. What would you like to talk about?
Say that one more time.
I just asked you what you'd like to talk about, what your question was.
My question is, I haven't seen this lady since 11/7/11 was the last time I seen her, and she went away, and I'm still, like, you know, every day, every night, you know, I think about her, and I want her back, you know. It was, like, my fault she went away. You know, the jealousy and the insecurities and all of that, you know, but a lack of patience. I did the 6-minute call earlier. I was telling Maureen, but got some good news. But I just wish she come back. You know?
Wow, I tell you, you're really breaking up bad. I can't understand what you're saying. The last thing I understood was that you hadn't seen or heard from this girl since 2011. Is that correct?
Oh, 11/7/11. You know, that's the last time I seen that.
November 7th of 2011,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
She made it clear to me at the time, you know, like she didn't want to talk to me anymore.
Okay.
maybe like I gave it a year, like this December, I contacted her, I texted her. She told me it wasn't her phone number, whatever. It was like a friend of hers that she gave the number to. I believe it was her, but she still, I'm not sure. Okay.
So what's your question? Are you wanting to know if you two will get back together, if you'll see her again, or that kind of thing?
Yes, yes. We weren't actually together, you know, but will I see her again? Do I have a chance of, like, making something happen?
Okay. So I have to tell you, you know, I just have to be real honest with you, and I mean that's kind of why you call into the show, hopefully, and hearing what you hear, and I can see that you've been through a lot. It feels a lot to me. You have the same type of spirit and energy that I've worked a lot with and have given workshops to people who are in AA. I'm not saying that maybe you were an alcoholic, but what I'm saying, this the same type of spirit and energy. In other words, the healing and coming through and facing your own stuff and trying to get past that and healing. And I see a lot of that in you. So you've really, you know, you've done a lot of hard work, but I really, really think it's time to let her go. It's been, you know, it's been a while now. And like you said, she's kind of made it very clear. I don't even want to get into her energy and what she's thinking about and if she, you know, has hope for the two of you and that kind of thing, because I'm talking with you and I think that it's not healthy for you to continue on down that line. I think that you are experiencing a lot of, I don't want to say a lot of regret, but there's a lot of that wishing that you could kind of make up for some of the times maybe that you were together with her and that kind of thing. And I think that's mostly what you're feeling. And if you search it out a bit more, I think that you'll be in touch with those feelings rather than so much it is as getting back together with her for a relationship. I think there's just a lot of what I'm making up for on your part, which is totally understandable. And if you ever do contact her again, or if you ever happen to run into her, I think that would be great for the two of you. I don't necessarily think it's a good idea for the both of you to get back together. But I think that would be great if you had that opportunity. If you don't have the opportunity, you got to heal inside yourself. You know, there's got to be a lot of forgiveness on your part, which you've already done. But I think there still needs to be some more, obviously, when it comes to this one particular person. I don't think you're a person that likes to hurt other people, and it tears you up inside. And I think that's a big part of what you're going through. So, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay. So it has to be my answer, and I think we still have another phone call that we need to take. So hopefully it made sense to you. You know what I mean? Like you understood what it was that I'm saying to you. So then we'll kind of leave you with that. Okay, bud?
All right.
Okay, my friend. Take care of yourself, though.
Thank you, Bobby.
Sure.
Well, we don't have time for more callers. This evening, Bobby.
We don't have three. I thought we had 3 hours left. No?
No, unfortunately not. 8 to 10 Eastern.
Jeez, I haven't been on the show for a while. When did that change?
We're going to miss you, Bobby. We are going to miss you, Bobby.
We really are.
Listen, it's been...
Yes, definitely.
It's been an absolute pleasure. You guys are really amazing. And, you meet a lot of people in this business that do what we do. And every single one of you, I trust, with opening up to, if I were to get, you know, that type of reading, there's not a lot I can say that about, you know, especially when we're doing it, we don't really have people that we turn to. And each one of you have become, I love us, you know, if we had a chance to get together in the future, like we did before. And I absolutely love all of you. And Stephen, I don't love you yet. I'm sure I would.
Well, I love you, Bobby.
Okay. Thanks, man.
Yeah, you're awesome, and I know you're going to have a wonderful career, and I wish you all the best wherever life takes you.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Well, Bobby, we want to thank you because you've been an incredible co-host, colleague, friend. You're a fantastic psychic and medium. I know that you've helped so many people on this show and also in your readings on Psychic Access. You're a delight to work with. We consider you a member of the family, and we're excited about the future. We're going to miss you each week, but we know that you'll be doing wonderful work. I want to thank you on behalf of Spirit as well for dedicating your work to service and to metaphysics, uplifting people and helping them to find their paths. And most importantly, I think in your case, connecting people to their loved ones in spirit. We know that you'll do lots of incredible things in future. We'll be following you, and we definitely want you to come back as a guest and co-host for a star appearance sometime. So we love you, Bobby, and we're going to miss you.
I put a tear in my eye, Steve. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're really welcome. So go for it. We're excited for you, and we'll be supporting you and watching you all the way. Well, that is the end of another great show. I want to thank Teresa again and Doug for all his hard work behind the scenes, and my co-hosts, who are all available at psychicaccess.com if you'd like to connect with us. I want to just ask, who is hosting the show next week?
That would be me.
Stephen, what have you got planned for us?
Well, we have a wonderful guest slated for next week's show. We're going to be talking about the astral body, how to cultivate it, how to use it. And we're going to gear the information towards the beginner, the neophyte. So a lot of everybody...
I love that word, neophyte.
I do.
So do I. That's why I said it. It's just going to be a cornucopia of information and spirituality for everyone. So please don't miss it. It's going to be a great show.
Good stuff, Steve. We'll look forward to it.
We'll be here.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I hope everyone has a wonderful weekend. Join us next week, Thursday, as always, 8 o'clock Eastern Time. And I'll hand over to my co-host to say good evening.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Auf Wiedersehen. Goodbye till we meet again. Have a great week.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic Access, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.